born to die, that he might give eternal life, that I might live.
Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at YankeeArnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
Jesus saved my soul that night.
I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 17. We're going to talk about Paul, the missionary that goes to Athens, Georgia. Greece. But Paul was a missionary, and Athens was under Roman control, but was also the capital of Greece. And Paul had gone a little westward, and God had used him as a great missionary. Quite a few places. They had just gone through Thessalonica and established a church there. And then they went to the place called Berea, where we have the Berean church, where they search the scriptures daily, and they're known for that. And so that's why there's a lot of churches around that like to call their church the Berean church or the Berean Baptist church or Berean community church. And it's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I do like Calvary Community Church. I think Calvary is a beautiful name and speaks of the community, and it's a church. So I like the name Calvary Community Church. It's always wonderful to ask people, have you been to Calvary? Now, you could mean that two different ways, you know. But here in verse 15, the Apostle Paul has had to leave a couple of places. You know, he was always on a hot spot, and people were always after him. So he would sometimes, under the cover of night, have to get away. In verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, the Greek goddess Athena, where Athens come from, that name, and she was the goddess of wisdom. And this is why when you read the book of Corinthians, it talks about how that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God, the power of God to perform the signs and the miracles that the Jews wanted, and the wisdom of God to satisfy the curiosity of the philosophers. A philosopher was a lover of life, and that doesn't necessarily mean that he really knew God or anything about God. The Bible talks about two kinds here. One is the Epicureans, Epicurus, that had gone and settled and taught the people here many, many years before. And you have that philosophy that there is no God, and the ultimate goal or the aim of life is just pleasure in itself. It didn't start off that way, but it had developed in the philosophy that pleasure is just the sensual pleasure that people can get out of life, and that there is no God and don't have to worry about that. And so there's people who have a mindset that as long as it feels good and pleases you and can bring you not only the most pleasure but the longest pleasure, then there's nothing wrong with it. And so do you have anybody like that today? Their only goal is pleasure in life, and they think nothing about an afterlife because this is all there is. Then you have the Stoics. Well, those are the ones that believed in really a lot of self-discipline, where it's not so much that they're like atheists, but if there is a God, he just wound it up and he's not involved. And so you have some of these things that are mentioned, and that there's no God ruling over anything, and that there's not the emotional that you have with those that just seek pleasure, because they're always on an emotional high or low because of pleasure or no pleasure. But the Stoics are more disciplined, and therefore they talk about not concentrating on anything else, just no pain, no gain, just leave things as they are and just philosophize everything. You have two different groups, two extremes, and Paul is headed to Athens. Of course, when he got there, he got a chance to see some things before the others arrived. And so when they got there, he began to preach. But whether or not he preached before they got there, I'm not sure. But if you will, look there in verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred. That means he was provoked, irritated by what he saw. And he saw things that he didn't like, because he said the whole city was wholly given to idolatry. So all of these people that thought that there are gods, they didn't know a personal God. And that was part of the Stoics' religious beliefs, that you don't know a God. So in order not to offend any God, but they didn't believe in a personal God. So they had gods to everything, to everybody. And so as Paul was able to stand on Mars Hill and looking down, because the city was upon a hill, and from where he was at, called Mars Hill, Areopagus, he was able to see up and down the streets and see all of these gods. And back in those days, they had gods at places of business. They had gods in front of their homes, up and down the streets. And everywhere you could look, you could see statues and so forth of some false god. And this is where Paul began to preach. So would he say anything to offend them? Because after all, you know, all of these gods means that they're very religious people. And Paul had made the statement that you are so religious, you're too superstitious. And remember, all of these gods means that you don't know the true God. So if you will, look there in verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue. The word disputed doesn't mean always to argue. Sometimes it simply means that they debated the scriptures. They reasoned about these things. And because these people that were there, well, they always liked to hear some new thing. And so Paul was called a babbler, or a, like we would call a seed picker, which means like a bird that simply goes from place to place and picks up seeds. And a babbler was one that had traveled around and got a little bit of scraps of knowledge. Scraps of knowledge. And so they wanted to hear not only necessarily something new, but something that's added to what they already knew. Somebody has something else. And so whenever a new person would come, they enjoyed, it was part of their pleasure to hear something that they didn't know before. And so this seed picker, this babbler, of this one who has probably gathered a little bit of scraps of knowledge together, was looked down upon. These are not praises of compliments because of letting him speak. It was more like of a ridicule. But they wanted to listen and to hear some new thing. Wonder what he has to say, because they knew that he had a strange doctrine. So you see there in verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. So Paul went a little bit of everywhere, and yes, even to the marketplace. But he would go. And in verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans. Now you've heard of Plato and, you know, Apollos. Some of these philosophers of the past that, you know, supposed to be so wise, and they had students that learned their things and moved on. I remember Dr. Seymour in college. He would try to teach us some of these things about all these philosophers and stuff. He just loved to read all of the things of people's various, you know, beliefs and their knowledge, the philosophers. And I had to take some of those classes. I really didn't like them that well. I really don't care what everybody else thought. I'm only interested in what do I think about what God says. But sometimes in witnessing, it does help to know a little bit about what another person believes. So we had to take cult evangelism. We had to learn about all the religions and what everybody believes. And so you can use a little bit of that knowledge. They considered themselves to be, we are the philosophers. We are the men of wisdom. And now they want to listen to you so they can pick you apart. It wasn't so much that they could learn so much more truth. They prided themselves in the knowledge that they had. But notice what he says in verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans, more like atheists would be, and that the only pleasure you get out of life is what you can enjoy now, so go for it. Then you have those that do believe that there could be a God, but there's no personal God. So in order not to offend whoever this God may be, we'll just have an idol to all the gods. And if you've got a new God that we don't know about, we'll put that one up too. But they did have a one that they had a sign that says, to the unknown God. So whenever Paul got there, he says, now this is the one that I want to talk to you about. The unknown God. The one you don't know about. So Paul had made the statement, even in the book of Corinthians, that when I was with you, I only wanted to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, my wisdom or my message is not to come here and to debate your philosophies with you. He had a message of his own that was far superior to any of the philosophies of man. You see, you and I don't have to apologize for the message that God's given to us. I'm writing a book right now on the Dora Lake story. And many people are apologetic about the issue of eternal security or once saved, always saved. They don't mind it if you even talk about trusting Christ as Savior. He paid for your sins. And they can live with that and accept that. And it's not a problem until you tell them that you believe in eternal security. Because when you say that, it means that you believe that you're saved today and can never lose it, and how you live cannot affect it. Now, there's an issue there. Because with most people, they think, yeah, you're saved today, but you've got to watch how you lived, or God will take it away from you. And if you don't live right and persevere in the faith, it means you never really were saved to start with. So it produces all kinds of questions and doubts. And people become fruit inspectors. But I wish that every preacher would stop being ashamed of the truth of the gospel. What is so good about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it's free and that it lasts forever and that it is eternal security. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was eternally secure. That is an issue. That's when you find out if you really believe that salvation is free and it is by grace, is when you can say you cannot lose it and you do not have to persevere in the faith to prove that you're saved. Do I want people to serve the Lord? Yes, I do. I want every person to live a holy, godly life, but not to be saved, not to prove that he's saved. Not to keep his salvation, but because I have salvation, because I am a child of God, and this is what I should do. So the Apostle Paul didn't have to go there and try to debate one philosophy against another. He had a message that was far superior to anybody, and he doesn't have to apologize for it. You and I do not have to apologize to anybody for the doctrine of eternal security, that salvation is by grace, and that you can know that you have eternal life. That is the issue. That's what makes the difference of heaven and hell. And therefore, it's critical. So here in verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. Some of them said, what will this babbler, this seed picker, this person who has got scraps of knowledge, what will he say? He seemeth to be setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. So Jesus and the resurrection was his message. It was about who is Jesus, what did he do, and that he did die for the sins of the world and came back again from the dead. So he preached the message that he had. You deal with your own philosophies, but I'm sticking to what I know and what I believe, and this is the message that I preach. Notice what else he says. In verse 19, and they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, which is Mars Hill, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. In other words, was this just simply a frivolous interest in what he was saying and what their interest is, or do they really want to know the truth? Well, you always have a mixed audience, people that want to know truth and those that do not. There was a time when people are ignorant. They have no knowledge. And they actually said, we don't know who the true and living God is. So we've got a monument to the unknown God. So he says here in verse 24, thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. What are you talking about? Of all the philosophies they had, nobody had this new teaching. He had something that was new, something that was different. You see, our religion is just like all the religions of the world, no different, unless you're talking about grace. If you're talking about how you got to be good and earn your salvation, work your way to heaven by how you live, that's no different than all the other human religions. The only thing that separates what we have from the rest of the world is that we believe salvation is by grace without works. That's why we can believe that it's free and that it lasts forever. So he says here in verse 21, for all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else except going to football games and basketball games. And no, I added that in there. That's not in there. I wonder if people today worship something other than God. Boy, I could get sidetracked here, couldn't I? But I won't. The last thing I would ever want to do is offend anybody. Right? You know I wouldn't do that. So he says here, they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. I wonder if they would love gossiping. They probably enjoyed that. Do you know, I believe there's people who thrive. They live to gossip. They can't wait to hear something juicy about somebody. So, you know, I would never say anything about anybody unless it's good. And boy, is this good. Listen real close because I promise not to repeat it. I'm only going to tell it once. Well, verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious, you're too religious. Now, you can tell by the very statement that he just made, he was very concerned about not offending anybody. I perceive you're too religious, you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. You ignorantly worship an unknown God, a God you don't know. I want to tell you about this God. And what he does is begin to show them, and it goes all the way back to creation, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the true God, the only one God there is. So he says, him declare I unto you. So you want to hear something new, something strange? I know the unknown God. I know God. So therefore, I know something you don't know. Listen up. And he begins to explain to them. But look what he says. You already know he's already told them about Jesus and the resurrection, but he wasn't through. He says in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now remember, he's talking to people who believed that there is no God. And he's talking to people that don't know if there's a God. Some people call them agnostics. An agnostic is one who says and admits, I don't know. It means to be without knowledge. So there's a lot of people that are proud to be without knowledge, and they call themselves an agnostic. So whichever way they want to go, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands. Well, what's he saying to all these people that's got all of these idols and all of their gods? You see, it goes all the way back up there to verse 16 where it says, when he saw all of this, he was stirred in him. When he saw the idolatry, people worshiping things they don't understand, and gods they don't know. It's also a great opportunity. Remember, as you begin to read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul had a difficult time on his hands. They were some of the most carnal-minded Christians you've ever read about. Because after they, yes, trusted Christ as their Savior, and they were given all kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit, they had such infighting you couldn't believe. 14 major problems in the church at Corinth. Yes, this is in Athens, but it's all in the Macedonian area. And talking about in the area of Greece, where you're talking about people that want intellect, knowledge, and the great philosophers. Well, look what he says now in verse 25. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And you ought to underline this next statement, hath determined, as he says here, the times before appointed, the bounds of their habitation. I believe that God has made an earth. He's put man upon it. And I've had people ask me, do you believe that there's people on other planets around? No. But look how many planets there might be out there with life just like here. God could have done it over and over and over again. I don't think so. Because I believe that God has determined the bounds of their habitation. I believe that Jesus Christ only died one time, and that's for the people upon this earth. I believe that God made it here. Everything God's done is in regard to mankind upon this earth. And when he comes back from heaven, he's going to go to Mars and Pluto and set up his kingdom. I believe he's coming here. And it says that the increase of his kingdom will be no end, and it's going to be from the earth. And I believe this is the center. But anyway, that's for another time. Get what he says here. In verse 27, it's kind of like people upon the earth being a bunch of blind people. Pretend everybody's blind. And there's a man that can see, a man that can speak. But they're all blind. They can hear his voice. Whenever you hear his voice and you're blind, you want to get closer to the voice. You wouldn't want to get further away, because the only person that can see is the one that I can hear. So there's a natural drawing. God says everyone in the world is like a blind man. And he says, if you will feel after me, ye shall find me. I believe a person who seeks the truth and accepts the light that God has given to them, more light will be given. You see, there was a time when they were going to go into Asia, and God says, no, I want you to go over here to Macedonia. And then later on, the lady Lydia was saved down by the riverside. And other people trusted the Lord because of it. And then the Philippian jailer. So there's a whole family that got saved there. So there's a church that got started because we have the book of the Philippians. So you see, there's a God that knows what you know, and a God that knows who is seeking truth. And God says, seek the Lord while he may be found. He is not far from any of us. But God is so desirous of meeting the needs of anyone that would seek the Lord. So see, God draws, but some people will not respond. God gives light, truth. And people who want to obey truth and light can come to the light. But God says, preach the gospel to everybody in the world. So he tells us to go to them. But God can lead and guide us as we go. I was very amazed that so many years ago, over 40, I simply, as a young 27-year-old graduate from Florida Bible College, simply went to a hunter's banquet and preached the gospel. A half an hour message, and took a couple hours to get there, a couple hours back, but I had to spend the night. And I thought, this is a total waste of time. And then I was going to go to Minnesota and speak up there, and I knew it was another waste of time. But 40 years later, when I see so many of the testimonies of the people, and I thought, what if I had never gone? I can't take credit for that because I did not know any of that. All I did is what I did. Not because I planned anything, only because God opened up the door and I just do it. Just like you may just witness to somebody, but you didn't take a lot of thought about it. You just did it because you know that's what you're supposed to do. And then you don't know how God's going to open up door. God knows the hunger in other people's lives. And all we have is we have some bread. And when you study the book of Ruth, it's just handfuls on purpose. Just casting the seeds. And so as we go through life, we got some bread. There's a story in the Old Testament about some lepers that found some bread. They came back and told them because they were starving to death and says, we found some bread. So some lepers found something to eat. And then they had to decide whether or not, do we go and tell them or just keep it for ourselves? And that's where we are. You know the truth. You know you have eternal life. You found some bread. There's still a lot of people that are hungry. Do we share the bread or just keep it for ourselves?
Were you ever told that you must confess Christ before men to be saved? Were you warned that if you refused to confess Christ, he would not confess you before the Father? Just what does that mean? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.